Vegas. Ugh. Man, that was loud on my ears. I had to move the headphones away. But hello, 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 and welcome to Pardon Me Addicts, the only Lumberjack basketball podcast on the market. And we've had a week.
Yes, we have.
I'm sure everybody wants to know about the current dealings and status of Lumberjack basketball, but that is not tonight. We are not talking about that tonight. We are not discussing that tonight. We are doing that on another day. This entire podcast is dedicated to WAC Vegas, the games we played in Vegas, the adventures Jacqueline and I had, and all of the things in between. So if that's what you're here for, I'm very sorry. We're not talking about that yet. That's a whole nother day.
Put a pin in it. Come back to that.
Here's the thing. This is the only thing I'll say. We literally have like 42 more days left of the portal being open. So who the actual hell and F knows what's going to happen between now and then? Unsure. So there's no point in discussing it, honestly, in detail and length at the moment, because it hasn't even closed yet. So we don't know what's happening. Anyway, Vegas, let's talk about it. Where do you want to start? I guess on Wednesday, us leaving Nacogdoches or not Nacogdoches, us leaving Tyler and heading up to Dallas to catch our flight. It's a good flight. Relaxing. Jacqueline fell asleep within 5 minutes of boarding, as per usual.
Snoozing before we taxi the runway every time.
Yeah.
It's a small skill I have.
It is the wildest skill that you have. I mean, I've never met someone in my life who could literally fall asleep on a plane within minutes of sitting down in their chair. Like, we're not even in the air yet. I mean, you sleep through it all. Taxing, takeoff, all of it. You have
all of it.
The wildest, like, party trick here. I don't know what to do.
And every time I bring my iPad thinking, oh, I'll read. And I'm asleep before I can even get that thing out.
You are. You're passed out. I mean, at least this time you remember to bring your pillow so that you could at least have something comfortable to put your head on. Because there was a couple trips there that you didn't bring a pillow and you literally just like cricked your neck.
I know. I'll make do. Nothing stops me from the flight snooze.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I know. I know. Anyway, so we left on Wednesday. That was obviously the day of our first game versus ACU. So we get to Vegas, the whole rigmarole, get our luggage, etc. Get a Uber and head over to our hotel. And Jacqueline, where did we stay this year?
Lovely little town of love called Paris.
Yeah. And last year was the first year that Jacqueline went into Paris, I think. And so we really I love Paris. I think it's just so pretty. The vibes are immaculate. Obviously, we really love Vanderpump in Paris. The restaurants are so good. Our brunch place was amazing. We'll get to that in a minute. The room is perfect. I mean, like, we don't need anything fancy. We're not in our room basically ever except for the sleeping part of it. So we don't need anything fancy. Paris is just like the nice spot, the nicest little spot. And plus it's like right in the middle of the strip. So it's like a good spot to start and walk around and beep bop around to the other hotels nearby. It's just a good little spot. The check-in though was wild. We get there and the check-in line was like and it wasn't out the door, but it sure should have been. It was insane. I think
the checkout line was about as long as the line for security at the airport.
Yeah. Yes. It was insanity. Thankfully, Jacqueline was like, oh, there's the mobile check-in. You stay here. I'll go over there and we'll see if we can check in whoever gets there quicker. The mobile check-in, we weren't sure if our where we booked at would work on the mobile check-in. It did. So we were able to check in on the mobile little like kiosk, get our stuff. Otherwise, we'd have been in that line for like legitimately 2 hours. It felt like it was going to be forever.
Slow.
I guess that is one of the drawbacks of staying at a premier hotel on the strip is the check-in time. It's everybody's check-in time. So it's an absolute madhouse. Let's see here. Corey, don't fly Frontier. I almost died. Oh God. I'm sorry.
I've never flown Frontier, but we need to know what happened to you, Corey.
Yeah. Give us the details. What happened on Frontier? Let's see.
We didn't even get to hang out with Corey at all on this trip. Jose, I stayed up for this. Not enough Bud Lights next year. Love SFA. We're waiting on you to meet us in Vegas, Solo.
Every year.
For bottomless mimosas.
Yeah. Every year he says, I'm coming to Vegas. And every year we sit around waiting for him to show up. And here's the thing with Jose. You never know if he's going to actually like show up.
The 50-50 chance, everybody.
Every time. Anyway, so next year. It's always next year. Let's see. I'll text y'all, but the flight left at 3 a.m. and it shouldn't have. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Right.
That's yucky. Anyway, so we didn't have a lot of time to kind of like bebop around before we had to get dressed and go over to the game. Although the game was the later game, I feel like the games were scheduled a lot later this year, or I don't know, something was different this year with the game times, because last year we were done by like what, 10 o'clock, 10:30. This year I felt like we didn't get done until like 11 o'clock, 11:30.
I don't know. I think it just felt later last year, but I could be wrong because I feel like the times are the same.
I know. I thought they were too, but it just, man, it felt like last year or this year, we just got done so much later than what we did, but maybe it was just, I don't know. Who knows? Let's see. Daryl said, at least for me, the turbulence on the climb out Saturday night was insane going to Ontario. Anyone else? Ontario.
Yeah, why were you going to Canada? I don't think we had any turbulence on any of our flights. But again, would have just had been enough to wake me up, or I wouldn't know.
There was a little bit of turbulence going into Las Vegas, but you were sleeping, so you wouldn't have felt it anyway. So there was just a little bit. It's always like going over the mountains. It's always just a little windy and a little turbulent, but yeah. Anyway, oh yeah, that's right. The game before us did go into overtime. That's true. So that's why it felt like it was so late. All right, fair.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we go in, get our media passes, go to the little pregame pregame get together at the Bollywick Club, pub, whatever it's called in the Orleans, and have a few beers, do a Vegas bomb. I feel like you're in Vegas, you have to do a Vegas bomb.
And it's one of the like three shots that I can actually do.
She's not a shot taker, y'all. She cannot do shots. Anyway, so we hang out for a little bit with our favorite basketball people. Dylan's there. Nick Rocco is there. Dylan and Nick's friend, Marcus is there that we hadn't met until this year. We were missing a few of our favorite basketball people though. Andy, T-Bone, you know who you are, you know where you're at. We miss not having either. Well, T-Bone never comes, but Andy wasn't here this year either. So that was kind of upsetting, but there was a lot of people that usually do go that didn't come this year. And it was kind of weird not having them there, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Anyway, then, next thing you know, it's time for us to head down across the casino into the Orleans Arena. And now we head to the game.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So let's talk about the game.
Yes. So the first game, Wednesday night, it was us. We were number 6 in the bracket playing number 7, Abilene Christian. Let's see. So background info, I know y'all heard this probably just a month ago, but background info with ACU, we have 26 wins and 15 losses going into that game. Our last matchup, we did lose at home by 1, 63-62 in February. The largest margin of victory we've had over ACU was 97-62. That was in 2016, and the smallest was by 1 point in 2019. For this game, our starting lineup, same as the last few since AJ returned. We had Terrell, Matt, AJ, Jalil, and Nana. We did win 60-57. The attendance was 1,064. And we will jump into Sean Kennedy's stat section, who, by the way, was like living it up in Turkey
Santorini.
And everywhere.
Yeah. So jealous of him being, I mean, we had a great time in Vegas, but don't get me wrong. I mean, if I could go to Santorini and be in Greece, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
What the, anyway, when he told me they were going to Greece and Turkey, I was just like in Istanbul. I was like, all right.
No, I didn't even know until I saw their poster. I would have given them some recommendations for Istanbul. But anywho, All right. So in Kennedy's stat section, our field goal percentage was 40%. 3-point percentage was even higher at 44.4%.
Good.
Free throw percentage,
48.
Points in the paint on the lower end, 20. We had 9 points off of turnovers, 4 second chance points, 8 fast break points. Our bench points were super low this game with 10.
Oh, fuck.
I know.
Sorry. So okay.
This was quite an up and down game. The score was tied 5 times and the lead changed 3 times.
It was definitely an up and down game for sure. Yeah, this game was wild. I wasn't expecting this game to go the way it did. I'm not going to say that, not to say that I didn't think we could win. Obviously, I knew we could win that game easily, hands down. But it's always a dogfight when we play ACU. I mean, whether it's home, away, it doesn't matter. ACU is such a similar team to us, so that literally anytime we play them, it's like we're playing a mirror image of ourselves. And so that can either be a good thing or a bad thing. It can either work to our favor or work against us. And so, man, just honestly, it was a crazy game. And the ending was just the most insane part of it. And obviously, everybody knows that around the United States and beyond, because that last second buzzer beater 3-point shot that AJ could juice, our boy Juice just bodied, just absolutely nailed. Zero hesitation, zero, like, just swoosh. Didn't even hit the rim, nothing. It was like the perfect last second buzzer beater shot. And it was the shot heard around the world because literally it was so late at night. On the East Coast, everybody was already in bed. And so it didn't really start making the rounds until, I mean, it was making the rounds, but it wasn't really starting to like pick up steam until super late at night and then the next morning.
Yeah.
It was that'll be
our number one feat of strength, but we got more stats.
No, I know. I was just saying, crazy.
So total rebounds, we had 25. They had 37.
Mm-hmm.
We had 4 offensive boards, only 4, and 21 defensive boards. We had 24 fouls. 13 turnovers, they had 22. We had 10 steals and 3 blocks. So our game leaders, we had 3 that were right there beside each other, but then I added in 2 more because they had some really good rebounds. So we have Trell leading the way on points, 17 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 rebounds. We had Matt with 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 3 steals, 2 assists. We had AJ with 12 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. Jaleel had 7 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. And then we had CC leading the way on rebounds. He had 6 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. It did not list a block for him on the stats, and I'm real confused by that.
Yeah, I saw that, and I am confused as well, because we know for damn sure that he had at least one.
I guess they're not counting that as a technical block, but I don't know what else you call it.
I don't know either.
Anywho.
I don't know. Anyway, I know. I jumped the gun on talking about AJ, but Jesus, I couldn't help it.
So, player of the game. I have to split it between two, and I'm sure you'll agree. I mean, Trell was keeping us in there the whole time, most points, multiple assists, steals, rebounds, all that. But AJ coming in hot with that buzzer beater, that was wild. And we also have to give, like, special shout-outs to CeCe and Matt on that, because CeCe got the block, gave Matt the pass to give AJ the assist. So it was
a full team effort on that. That last, like, 13 seconds of the game was a complete team effort. Just absolutely insanity. So, yeah, just roll. I'm going to agree with you on player of the game, by the way. So, I mean, so we can immediately go back into talking about this freaking number one feat of strength was this last sequence of the game. I mean, all the attention, of course, has been on AJ with that shot. And yes, like, totally hands up. He saved the day, last second buzzer beater, but holy shit, Krishan Christmas with the block.
I can't even tell y'all how many times I have rewatched the last 13 seconds of that game.
Well, yeah. I mean, the night of, we rewatched it probably a million times that night. And then again, the next day, the same thing.
I mean, I watched it multiple times today, but that was because I needed some little spark of joy in my day.
Oh, don't do it. Yeah, I know. So, but I mean, what an absolute head, and not even, and here's the thing. And you're going against Arian Simmons, who's a big guy, and you block him and don't foul him. That's the main thing that was shocking. That's the main thing that was shocking, other than, of course, the last second buzzer beater. And then, of course, there's a controversy that people are saying that CeCe's foot was potentially out of bounds. I don't know. It's a very grainy picture. It's like the picture of Bigfoot. It's super grainy. You can't tell what it is. Sorry.
And here's the thing. If they didn't call it in the moment, even if there was a review, the review can only overturn what the call on the floor was if it's beyond a reasonable doubt. So,
yeah.
For anyone questioning whether or not the block is reviewable, it would only have been reviewable if they blew the whistle to stop play. Thanks. That's what I'm saying. Like, they didn't call anything. So
they didn't call anything.
All they review is if they call something, and then the review's only going to overturn the call on the floor if it's beyond a reasonable doubt. So
exactly. I know, because I saw people complaining about that. And I saw, of course, people saying, you know, about the whole foot thing being out of bounds. And again, it was a blurry screenshot. Like, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to tell if his foot is out of bounds or not. It could be hovering. It could be out of bounds. Who knows? But it wasn't called in the moment. So sorry about you. Yeah.
That is all that matters. Okay, so what did they say, Daryl? Daryl says one of the observers was in the seat next to me on Friday, so I asked, did he think it was inbounds or not?
Yeah.
Not that it matters. I mean,
not that it, yeah, exactly. Not that it matters, but just, again, the heads up play by CeCe to get down there, put his body on the line. I mean, he blocked the ball. I don't know why they didn't add that as a block on his stats, but he blocked the ball, got it back, tossed it to Matt, and Matt immediately tosses it down to AJ and literally catch and shoot, zero hesitation. I just can't. I mean, if you guys watch it back, which I'm sure you can easily find the clip, if you zoom in and we shared it on our page as well. But like, if you zoom in to the first row behind the bench, obviously all the boys are freaking out. But then you see Jacqueline and I behind the team losing our minds as well. I mean,
yeah, I rewatched it multiple times today whenever I rewatched the game. And yeah. Hilarious if you zoom in on us. Alex is wearing a purple shirt. I'm wearing like a gray baseball with purple sleeves. When the ball is in the air from AJ's shot, we're both like. And yeah. Then when he makes it, Alex is doing like the Kevin from Home Alone. And I go straight down to my knees and come back up. And I'm grabbing Alex on one side and Jaleel's mom on the other side, and we're losing our minds.
Oh yeah. I mean, Jacqueline almost yanked me down to the ground. That's how hard she fell. She fell to her knees. Legitimately, it felt exactly how it felt whenever we last second tipped it in versus Duke. Like, that's the kind of like absolute joy and thrill and elation that we felt when we were at the Duke game. We both fell to our knees at the Duke game. Like, that was a given. And then that game, it was just because it was such a hotly contested game. And also it was our first postseason WAC tournament victory. Yeah. And the fact that I'm even saying that is wild to say, because That's just, you know what I mean? We're so used to being, you know, when we were in the Southland, we were so used to being top dogs, number one, always winning the postseason tournament, or at least always being there in the final game. And I mean, for it to be our third trip to WAC Vegas, and that is our first postseason WAC Vegas win, is wild.
Yeah. First game we've ever won, in Vegas at the tournament in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it was a brand new thing. Cause even at the end of the game, we were going to stand on the end of the court the guys came in on, to hugs, high fives, whatever, after the game. Mm-hmm. And then they go exit to the other end. So when Alex and I went in the press conference room, I was like, why'd they exit on the other end? And they're like, oh, well, they won. So they went down to that hallway to put their name on the next round of the bracket. And I'm like, oh, well, we haven't won before, so didn't know that.
We were unaware. We were totally ignorant to the fact that, oh, you actually do that when you win. Got it. Noted.
Missed that
memo completely. Anyway, so it was just a wild and crazy night after that. I mean, we were just so hyped up on adrenaline. And I mean, and the guys in the press conference post game were just absolutely elated. A complete 180 from what it was last year during the post-game presser, because last year it was Keller, Trell, and Nigel, and it was the most emotional, like, 10 minutes of our lives. I haven't cried that much in sports in so long, but watching Nigel and Trell, like, bawling was the worst. And then as they're leaving off the presser, we went over and gave them hugs. And we're like, wow, what a difference from last year. I'd prefer this rather than crying our eyes out. Don't you, Trell? He goes, oh, yeah. I mean, it was a crazy night. Crazy night, crazy win. The fact that it was on frickin' the Today Show was wild. And yeah, just all the clicks and impressions that little game gave us was, it's free. It's free, baby.
It's free, baby.
It's free, baby. And you can't really beat it. Like, you know, that's free marketing, and it does wonders for the external team at SFA to get stuff like that trending and viral. So love to see it. Obviously there were other good moments of the game. I know Jacqueline rewatched it today, so she probably has some more notes to discuss. So go ahead, girl.
I do. I have a few. Okay, let's go through our game leaders. All the cats want to be up here now.
Oh boy. All right.
So Trell, multiple beautiful threes. One he literally shot from the logo. They even replayed it and showed him standing in the logo. It was wild.
Disgusting. Yeah.
So probably second feat of strength of the game. Trell hit his 1,000 points, career 1,000 points in this game.
He did. He did.
Let's see. He had, I mean, some really great fast breaks. As always, he took a great charge, like us, where he does at least once a game. Mm-hmm. Okay, next on the game leaders, Matt. Matt played great this game. He really did. I mean, he always does. But let's see. He only had 1-3. Just kidding. But he was aggressive from the start. There were at least 3 times that he drove in and got the foul on the shot and got the 2 free throws.
Yeah, he was also...
The first 2 times he made both free throws. The third time he only missed 1. I think the 4th time he missed both.
Yeah, he had a pretty decent free throw percentage. I mean, he was 6 of 9, so he had a lot of free throws.
Yeah, he was constantly driving in and drawing the foul, which was great because we got several of their players in foul trouble. We had Betty All fouled out. Ollie Diba had 4. Arian Simmons had 4. We had some foul trouble of our own, but we'll get to that. but that was great. He got that and one with 1.5 minutes left in the game and mm-hmm. then followed it up directly with a steal on the other end of the floor. So he really gave us that push. And then, of course, the assist to AJ for the last shot. We already talked about AJ. Let's see. Okay, Jahlil played great this game also. Multiple dunks. We love to see that.
Absolutely.
We love when Jahlil makes a 3-pointer.
Love to see it.
That game was very exciting, especially since we were sitting beside his mom. We got to tell her mm-hmm. how much we love when he makes a 3. And when I watched it back today, they did mention that he is over 40% from the 3-point line.
Mm-hmm.
And they also mentioned that he is one of the, I don't know what number because they didn't say, but they said one of the best offensive rebounders in the country.
So, love to hear that. That's fantastic.
Yay, Jahlil, for that.
His journey from last year to this year has been outstanding. So love to hear it.
Incredible. Yeah. CeCe, of course, the block of Arian Simmons at the end has to be the top of his list. He had multiple putbacks this game, and I listed him on the game leaders because of his rebounds. He had 8 rebounds, the most on the team, and his flying rebounds are just every time he gets a rebound, he comes from like nowhere, just soaring in.
Right.
Let's see. Few small other notes. So Jelani had the first bucket of the game, which was amazing. And I do want to say, he didn't list him for a block either, but I swear he had one. Made some great defense on Arian Simmons, which is not easy because, I mean, if any of y'all have ever watched ACU, you know, like you could just look at Jelani and be like, oh yeah, he's big enough to guard Arian Simmons, but Arian Simmons is fast for his size. He really is. He's not easy to defend. And I thought Jelani did a great job.
He really isn't. 100%. 100% agree.
And that's all my feats of strength, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no. I mean, I already talked about mine. I mean, I talked about AJ. I talked about CeCe. That's literally only parts of the game that I remember.
Actually, Clayton had 2 steals, so I do want to note that because I had marked down he had 1-2. So,
yeah, I haven't had time to rewatch the game, even though I wanted to rewatch it. Just been so busy catching back up at work, but I literally think I blacked out. So the only part of the game I remember is literally the last 13 seconds. So
yeah, no, definitely. When I rewatched it today, there, of course, Alex and I were sitting right behind the bench, so you could see us every time the ball was on that end of the court. And there were times that I was like standing up yelling at the ref and I can't even remember what I was yelling about, but
yeah,
something,
most likely them calling a call not in their area or who knows, which leads us to our grievances.
With the airing of grievances, I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
You're going to hear about it. I'll start from the beginning. We did kind of have a rough start the first few possessions. Just the first few. And I was like, we had several wide open back doors, which I never like to see. A baseline back door. But the main ones where we let them go on a 3-pointer streak in the second half, 11-0 run. Then we started getting foul trouble with Jahlil, Nana, Trell, Clayton, and CeCe. We had, Jahlil had 4, Nana fouled out, Clayton had 4, CeCe had 3, AJ had 3, Trell had 3.
Yep.
Which didn't sink in as much in the moment, I don't think, because like we just had too many fish to fry. There were like other things to worry about. But when I was watching back today, I was like, oh man, we were getting close. Which made more sense retrospectively, because I remember in the moment we were like, we got to win it in regulation because overtime is going to be dicey because we're getting on up there on the fouls.
I would have been super nervous if this game did go to overtime. I'm so glad that AJ ended it because here's the thing. I feel like our overtime chances are just so up in the air and wishy-washy lately, especially this season. Like there are some games, obviously, like we won it overtime, but then there's some games that we've completely just fallen apart in overtime. So I didn't want it to go in overtime. I wanted it to end in regulation one way or the other, because give us 5 more minutes and I'm sure we'll F it up somehow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just being honest. Like that's just how this season has gone. So it's like, just end it here. End my misery here. Either end it in a positive way or just shoot me in the heart right now. Whichever.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to finish it, and thank God we did. But yeah, my other major grievances are free throws. 48%.
That's my major grievance as well, as the free throws, obviously in the house, but free throws.
Not going to do it. 48% is just not going to do it. And in a game like this, just a few more free throws would have kept it from being this anxious, you know?
Right.
I hate it for him because – you know, Trell's the WAC leading free throw shooter at 88%. And this game, he shot 25%. It was like,
where did it go?
It was mind boggling.
Mind boggling is right. I feel like the last few games of the season, like just the free throws from him just weren't to par, and no idea why, you know, mental probably. I don't know what else to say about that, but it was you use the right term, mind boggling, because he used to be like, he was just such Mr. Automatic when it came to free throws. So it was like, oh, they just, you know, they just foul Trell. guaranteed 2 points right there.
Yeah.
And it was getting a little dicey.
We were very flabbergasted and confused by that. I know watching back today, multiple times I saw myself just like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah. The other thing that was just really flat, like just absolutely mind boggling to me too, was, and again, everybody knows how much we love Nana. Nana played 18 minutes. He started the game, 0 rebounds, 1 point. Like, and that was from 1 free throw.
And after his 30 point game.
And exactly. That was the main thing. Right after his 30 point game, he comes out and it's literally 1 point, 0 rebounds, and he fouls out.
Yeah, I'm thinking the word that comes to mind for that is Arian Simmons, probably.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure that definitely had a big major part in it, but holy moly. And then that was another thing too. I mean, Jahlil did play great where he was in, but he only scored 7 points as well. I mean, they knew where to stop us in the paint. And that shows, because we only had 10. Or 9. I'm sorry. 20 points. I'm sorry. I read the wrong one. Which is a lot lower than what we normally get in the paint.
It's about half of what we would ideally like.
Exactly. So that was another one that was a little mind-boggling. anyway, those were my main ones, was just the free throws and the fouls.
Same.
Yeah, those were the main things that were a little wild. Let's see. Let me get back on the comments. Let me put this up here before my mother has a heart attack. She said, missing my guys already. No, please stay.
Same energy over here, Tess.
We know, Mom.
We're sad.
And the pain is real. Now the pain is even more extreme.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm not going to talk about it. Moving on. Moving on.
Oh, a last funny note on this game. Our friend Jason Gound got very overexcited at the end and ran out onto the court. And this poor little security man just was not moving fast enough. Not at all.
That was the funniest thing.
And about halfway over, I guess, he realized he wasn't supposed to be there. So he came back. But it was hilarious.
That was so funny.
I zoomed in on that part of the video and sent it to my parents because they know him from church. And we were laughing so hard. I mean, he was like running out there.
That was the funniest thing. Like, zero, he couldn't care less about the fact that he should not be on the court. He hightailed it from one side of the court to the other, was jumping up and down. Oh, that was just the funniest thing. So funny.
He was so excited.
Yeah.
Didn't even cross his mind. He was just ready to
exactly. Start. Yeah, exactly. Which also brings me to the funny other little side story before we get to the next game is then the next day watching the girls' game in press row, watching baby Bishop on the sidelines of the court was just a treat. An absolute treat. If anybody doesn't know, Leonard has, I think, what, three kids? Maybe four?
I think.
Anyway.
The video of it is on SFA Women's Basketball social.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So if you haven't seen this video, go to SFA Women's Basketball Twitter, social media, and go and find this video of Minnie Bishop. So it's Len's kid, his son, which his name is also Leonard, by the way. He's literally on the sidelines on the court, not on the team side, but across the court where, you know, the VIPs have their passes. And he's standing and he is jumping up and down, cheering so hard. And the funniest part is the fact that he's at all the practices. He knows the plays. He knows what the girls are doing and what they should be doing and not doing. So he's sitting and down yelling out the plays and like where they should move on his side of the court. So that was the funniest part too. And then the second time was, I don't know if it was either a good block or a good three, or we got up to a run GCU hadn't scored anything. Some moment in the game where it called a timeout and this boy is jumping up and down and like jumping onto the court, and he gets in trouble from his mother and he has to go and sit off the court because he was jumping onto the court. So he gets in trouble and basically gets put in timeout.
Well, I think Wally called Nick in the box and made him go down there and was like, I need you to get him off the court for a few minutes till he calms down before we get in trouble.
It was the cutest thing. It was so cute. It just reminds me so much of like, not reminds me, but it, you know, when the kids are supporting their parents in stuff like that, like it's the cutest thing. It's, and they're so into it. Oh my God. Len's family is so supportive of it. And I love it. And freaking baby Bishop is just the funniest little kid, man.
Yeah.
He's wild. Why? Cause it was even funnier. That was Thursday's. Friday's game was even funnier from baby Bishop. Like, but he was on the other side of the court, so we couldn't see him. But every time we did something on Friday's game, I would like kind of like look over and he's just jumping up and down doing the same thing. But the best part of the girls' game, the best part was at the very end when the buzzer goes off. And this is also on, this is the video we're talking about that is on the Twitter. Literally, Len, baby Bishop, is jumping up and down, like screaming, starts walking over to the sidelines, rips off his media his pass, throws it onto the ground, and is just like just charging off the court to go. He throws his little pass off his neck and throws it, chunks it onto the court. It's the best video. I want that video to go viral. I want that video to hit USA, or, you know, not USA Today, but the Today Show, because that is the funniest little video. That's great. March Madness to a T. Like, the elation, the thrill of victory, and then the agony of defeat. Like, that is the definition of March Madness. And we definitely felt that on Friday. Or Thursday, sorry.
Yeah. We did. It was great. Also, the guys were at the ladies' games during this tournament in the crowd each time.
Yep, they were.
Very overexcitedly cheering for them. And that was awesome to see. The Thursday game, Alex and I went up and sat with them and cheered for the ladies for a little while at the end. So that was fun. It was very cute.
They were so supportive of the girls, which I love to see as well. I mean, why not? If you're there, you might as well come. What else are you doing? Honestly, you know, like, come and support the ladies. And they did. They were back there cheering, yelling defense. Anytime the girls hit a three, you could just see AJ and the boys just hitting them threes in the air. Like, it was a very, very nice moment to see them cheering on their friends.
Being very, very supportive. They weren't just like, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Like, they were.
Yeah. Cool. Right. They weren't just like bumps on logs. They were actually cheering and being super supportive. So that was nice. So next day after the game, I mean, we are just so emotionally like spent and tired. We go and have a few drinks that night, go basically then like hit the sack because it's so late. We're so tired. The next morning, wake up, we go to brunch at Alexa's downstairs in our hotel with Nick Rocco. And let me tell you what, that was a time. Two words.
The bottomless mimosas you missed out on, Jose.
Bottomless mimosas. Literally. It was amazing. Bottomless mimosas for literally 2 hours for $30. Two thumbs way, way up. Had a great brunch as well. I had steak and eggs. Jacqueline had
chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles. I think Nick also had chicken and waffles too. It was a delicious brunch. And it was just a nice little, it was just really nice to like sit and eat and drink and
be merry.
Be merry. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. We were still riding the high of the night before and excited to go and watch the girls. And we basically just hung out there at that restaurant until we went to the girls game. I mean, we just kept chugging mimosas. I mean, we had orange juice mimosas, cranberry mimosas, pineapple mimosas, mixtures of them all. Like, we were just.
Yeah.
Mimosas. Oh my God. Yeah, definitely going to have to go back there again because that was a great meal.
That was delightful.
Great meal, good mimosas. That was fantastic. Yeah. So, like I said, we pretty much hung out there until we had to Uber over to the girls' game because the girls' game was at 2, I think. So we basically hung out there for a few hours and then went over for the girls' game. And then watched the girls' game, like we said. Watched baby Bishop freak out and lose his mind and watch the girls beat GCU, which was they played a great game there. Really proud of them on that victory. Went and listened to the post game presser where Coach Bishop literally body bagged Daryl and Kyle from Whack Hoops.
All in good fun though. He wasn't upset.
Yeah. All in good fun. Just being petty and hilarious. But post game pressers can either be like real fun or real depressing. So that one was a good one. Then after the girls game, I don't even know what we did. Like I'm blacking out. I don't even know what we did. I'm gonna have to go back in my pictures and see like what we did on Thursday after, because then we had a few hours to kill before the guys game. I think we came back to the hotel, did we not?
Yes, we did. We came back and we watched an episode of Vanderpump and we napped and then we changed and went to the guys game. That's what we did Thursday.
That's right. We did. Okay. Because I just went back in my camera and was like, okay, what did we do?
Took me a second when I got there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because literally it goes from, and this is how I know what we do during Vegas is I just look at my camera roll and just look at the timestamps to know what we did and when. So I literally, the picture after the post game presser for the girls, 4:35. And then I didn't take another picture until we got to the guys game at 8:06. So there you go. There was that 4 hour gap.
Checks out.
All right.
Let's quickly rip the Band-Aid off. That is.
I thought we could maybe avoid this, but I guess we got to do it.
I'm basically just going to give the history and the background and the stats section. And then Alex and I will each have a few grievances and that's pretty much it. All right. So Thursday we played against UTA, who I believe was number 3. Is that right?
I can tell you in a second. One moment.
All right. Going into that game, matchup history was 20 wins, 26 losses. Our last matchup, as many of you may well remember, because it's pretty fresh, we lost in Arlington in overtime, 71-63 on February 10th. The meeting before that this season, we played them at home and we beat them by 20. So largest margin of victory was 110-77 in 1995. The smallest was just by 1 point in 97. Same starters, Trell, AJ Matt, Nana Jalil. We lost by 31 points. 109.
Sorry, I just had to document this because this is probably the first time ever in the history of Pardon Me Alex that we have 100 people.
Oh, welcome.
I don't know. The fact that you're here listening to us talk about the second game dog shit is admirable, honestly. Yep.
Should have been here like 47 minutes ago in this episode, but welcome.
99% sure half people are just waiting to hear us talk about transfer portal. I guarantee you that's what's happening.
You should put up a banner, a separate episode for transfer portal. Can you do it?
Yeah, I'll put up a banner right now. Yeah.
All right, so lost by 31 points, 109-78. The attendance was 1,021. Sean Kennedy's stat section. Shockingly enough, some of these stats are better than they were for the ACU game.
Which is wild, I know.
Which is absolutely wild. So our overall field goal percentage this game was higher. Versus ACU was 40, this game it was 45.6. Our three-point percentage was a little bit lower, 38.1. Our free throw percentage was back to where it should be closer to, 78.3%. We had 28 points in the paint, so more than the ACU game. We had 15 points off of turnovers, 8 second chance points, 12 fast break points, and wait for this, 41 bench points this game.
What the? That's like a complete... Again, 180.
Yep. Total rebounds, we, again, were on the low side of the rebounds. We had 21. They had 40. So we had 8 offensive boards and 13 defensive boards. However, I will say that those offensive boards are twice what they were the ACU game. We had 20 fouls. We only had 8 turnovers, single-digit turnovers. They had 10. We had 5 steals and 3 blocks. Game leaders, we had, again, Trell leading the way with points, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. We had CeCe with 18 points, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, which I'm fairly positive that's his highest scoring game this season for us.
Oh, for sure. CeCe was on fire.
Yeah. AJ had 9 points, 3 assists, 1 rebound. We had Jelani with 8 points, 3 rebounds, 1 steal. Mm-hmm. Matt, all over the board with all the stats, 7 points, 4 assists, 1 rebound, 1 block, 1 steal.
He was all over the place too. And
we got Miles in there with 6 points and 2 rebounds.
Miles played, and I was so happy. That's my first beat of strength, is the fact that we hadn't seen Miles a lot the second half of the season, and the fact that he got in and actually played some really quality minutes for us this game kind of a little bit made the loss a little bit better, but still not great. But the fact that I loved Miles in this game. He played for 17 minutes, and, you know, he made every minute of those 17 count. Yeah. So I have something to say, but I'm going to have to wait till we're done with this part, because this is – the text group is going off right now, and it's not about the portal. So it's like
some breaking
know you saw it. Breaking whack news. Anyway, so, yeah, love seeing Miles in this game. Obviously, we wanted to see more of him all season, but we had a lot more guys playing in this game. Way more people off the bench came in, which was great. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I think part of the reason is just because we were getting our asses handed to us, and it was like, why the fuck not? Put him in. Put him in. Why not? Why not? So anyway, positives, all the people that got into play, good. Other positives, CC's great game, 18 points. Love to see it.
Love that for him. And right? I love that Miles finally got the minutes to give us points and rebounds. I agree.
Positives, Trell hit 3 out of 5 3-pointers. Love to see that. Positives, we had a couple players 100% on free throws. AJ was one of them. Miles was another. Kamari was another. Chemo was another. And Davion. So a lot of guys that were 100% from free throws. So our, you know, obviously our free throw percentage was a lot better, which Jacqueline already mentioned.
Yeah, and I was excited that Davion got a few minutes, and, you know, he tried to drive in and drew that foul and made both his free throws. So that was cool for him.
Yeah, yeah. Love to see it. Love to see it. Let me see here. I also loved that that we had more points in the paint than we did at the previous game, and I also loved that our bench points were 41 points. Those are all huge positives for me in this game. Again, minus the fact that we got our butts handed to us, I still think the stats were pretty decent.
Yeah, no, a lot of the stats were better than the ACU game, shockingly enough.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. That's the craziest part about it. All right. Any positives, any more things from you before we move on to negatives?
No, let's go for it, because I don't have many, but I'm going to point out the main one that outweighs.
Frank! Hi, Frank.
Frank, we miss you already.
We love you, man.
Thank you for coming and spending your one last year with us. We so appreciate it.
It was worth it. If all we had from you was 1 year, man, what a year it was. And damn, we love you, dude. We can't wait to see what you do. Can't wait to see what you do with your career, with your life. Like, we'll be watching and following it and supporting all till the end of time. Like, you're a stand-up guy, great teammate, super big supporter of us, which we love. And honestly, like, just a hell of a dude. It's just funny how life works out. The fact that, you know, last year around the same time, we were like, we were literally doing this to you. we were grievancing and hating on you. But this year, obviously, tables have turned. And
watch him purple and watch out. Yeah,
I know. It did. And damn it, we love you, Frank, so much, dude. Like, such a cool dude. You're so funny. You have so much energy. Best hair ever, too. Like, love it.
Great energy.
Love it.
And with your teammates and with the fans and everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, he easily could have came in and been like, whatever, I'm only here for a year. Like, not be engaged and not being engaged with the fans or the community or the players and just be like, I'm here so no one could find, like you said before. Yeah. Oh, and he gave us purple hearts.
We love you. I'm not good at doing the, you know what it is.
Yeah, well, like that.
I'm not good at doing it. I don't know.
It's okay. Yeah, we love you, Frank. Love, love, love. Anyway, so yeah, back to.
All right. I'm glad we got that little segue before this segment.
With the airing of grievances. A lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
Mostly all of my problems are with UTA, but
my problems are UTA.
The one thing that like was relevant to us not winning this game is that like I just said, a lot of our stats were better than the ACU game and we end up losing by 31. How, you ask? When the other team makes 19 three-pointers.
That's how.
Not much you can do about that. 19 yeah. three-pointers? 19.
It's crazy because they made 19 three-pointers, but yet their three-point percentage was 40. Like, they attempted 40. 40!
Yeah, but 47.5% on three-pointer, that's pretty darn high.
No, that's pretty high, but I'm just saying the fact that, like, it could have been worse.
Oh, yeah.
It could have been much worse, but oh my God. Yeah. All of my grievances we played decently, but all of my grievances have to do with UTA. Like I'm so glad. I am so glad that they lost to GCU. Mark me on that. I will never cheer for GCU except for in this moment. 100%.
Never planned all season long to be cheering for GCU to win that championship game, but
never, never. As soon as we were out of it,
Saturday night came and we were like, GCU all the way, baby.
And now you know why. Everybody knows why now because they saw it with their own two eyes. It wasn't just us being like, well, you know, they're a bunch of, you know, a-holes, like their coach is an a-hole. They are just so.
Yeah. If anyone's wondering, if you're like out of the loop, you're confused, don't know what we're referring to, go watch the last 2 minutes of the GCU versus UTA championship game. And you'll see why we did not wish them well.
No.
Because they like, and here's the thing, they are like that. They're players and their coaches every single game. That was not a one-time isolated incident. They are like that every single game. You can go back and listen to both of our UTA episodes and hear about it then. And yeah, they ended the game with, first of all, they could have only lost. They were within, I mean, we're not even talking about our game now, but just quick tidbit. They were within 4 points. They ended up starting to have to foul. Could have lost by only 10. Mm-hmm. But instead, they can dish it out, but they can't take it. And they got all pissy because the other team stole the ball and dunked it. Like, this wasn't a blowout.
No. I
mean, y'all were blowing us out by 30 points, and you were still raining threes all over the place. But we didn't get butthurt about it.
Thank you. I'm so glad you said that because I was going to say it.
So, yeah, they dunked the ball. It was a 10-point game. It wasn't like some big blowout. It's not like they were rubbing it in your face. One of their players got a flagrant technical for literally body checking the dude who dunked. Their other player got, the highest, I guess, a class 2 technical and got ejected for literally looked like he was on Average Joe's dodgeball team stealing that from somebody's tweet and just hurled the basketball at and pegged the dude who dunked.
Yep.
And then they ended up losing by 14 because GCU hit all four of those free throws. You knew they would.
Yep.
And they were like that every game, every single game.
And it's not just like Jacqueline said, an isolated incident with just us. Like, they did the same thing versus GCU when they played them there. They did the same thing in other schools as well. Like, this isn't just an us problem. And so I don't appreciate and or respect a team that it starts with the coach, first of all, The coach is the leader. The coach is the model of how you're supposed to behave. And when they played us at home in the sawmill, I'm sorry. Personally, I think that you should be either fouled up or teed up or something when you, the coach, scream out, and we've said this before, full voice across the court yelling at the refs, blow the fucking whistle. I'm sorry.
We heard him behind our bench. It was loud enough that we heard behind our bench. We're not
the entirety of Nacogdoches heard him.
This is not secondhand info. Like, we heard it with our own ears behind our bench.
Yeah, this the whole of Nacogdoches heard him. He was so loud and he just screamed at the officials, like literally yelling at the officials. And I guarantee you, if any other coach would have done that, I'm sorry. And then how they act, and then how they acted when we played them at UTA in Arlington was, that was one thing. Okay, that was one thing. I was like, all right, maybe that's just not, that, maybe that's the isolated incident. Oh, no. It got 10 times worse when we played them at UTA. It's just insanity how they can behave and not get any sort of repercussions. The first time I've seen any sort of repercussions about their behavior during games was in this GCU championship game. Right. That was it.
They only got one technical, and there were like at least 4 to 5 different offenses that could have gotten a technical because – let's see. So, yeah, it was number one, Philip Russell, who ended up getting the tech. But which one of these four things he got it for, couldn't tell you because he did all of them.
Yep.
He ran up and down, taunting and cursing our bench.
Mm-hmm. Now we're back to our game. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Up and down, cursing and taunting our fans sitting on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Cussed at the refs.
Yep.
Cussed at our other fans after, well, I guess towards the end of the game and then after the game, because apparently after the game, once they went in the hallway to put their name on the bracket, they had to come all the way back out to like taunt our team and wave bye and be tacky and all these other things.
I mean, act like you've been there before. That's what everybody says in athletics and in sports and everything. Like, if you're winning, act like you've been that before. And I'm sorry, the way that they acted was just so juvenile. So juvenile. And again, it starts with the coach. And everybody might think that he is just a stand-up gentleman and a stand-up guy and a good coach. I'm sorry. Look at his resume. He's been at like 25 different schools within the past like 5 years.
And that is what I said whenever we saw some UTA fans on Twitter like tweeting in his defense and saying something about next season. And I'm like, honey, you think he's going to be back next season? Have you checked his resume? He's everywhere for 1 year.
Maybe. He's a flip-flopper.
Peacing out of UTA as we speak.
And here's the thing. Like, if that coach and that program was so, like, good and tight-knit, I don't think that they would have multiple guys leaving, including the freshman of the year or whatever it was.
Well, and my other point about all the shit-talking – in addition to what you said, act like you've been there before. Melvin, karma will catch them. It caught him.
Because we asked GCU so humbly, said, can you please humble them? Can you please shut them up? And they finally did. Thank you, GCU. Appreciate you, player.
But yeah, my other point on that, and pretty sure if you watch Last Dance, MJ said this on one of those episodes, it's really easy to talk shit when you're ahead. Talk shit at the beginning of the game when it's 0-0. Like, let's see the shit talking then. And they don't ever talk shit until they're winning by 31.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just very, very, very funny to me that – and you said it. You said it. The fact that they were beating us by 30 points and they kept draining threes. Like, that's okay. But yet when GCU guy within a 10-point lead does a windmill dunk at the end of the game, now you get mad and upset because someone finally is doing this shit to you? Here's the deal, baby. 100% if the shoe was on the other foot, and I tweeted this, I didn't give a shit. 100% if the shoe was on the other foot, if UTA was winning and they were up by 10, 11, 12 points, and they did the windmill dunk, oh, it's fine then. It's fine then.
And they would have done that, and they would have taunted the bench all the way back down the court.
Ding, 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 ding. Also, and another reason why we're saying this and we're getting so hyped up about this too is the fact that even the head coach for UTA, this is the one time I will say this guy is right. During the post-game presser, they even asked him what his thoughts were on the end-of-game windmill dunk. He said, I don't mind it. You play to the buzzer. There was still time left on the clock. He's right.
And you know what I said? He can't say nothing else but that publicly, or he will be the hugest hypocrite in the world because of how him and players play. So who knows what he said in the locker room, but he's not as dumb. He knew he had to say that publicly because people would have been grilling his ass if he would have said otherwise.
Grilling. Me being one of them. If I was at that game, I would have 100% stood up and been like, where's the microphone?
We would have been in line.
Oh, we would have been probably kicked out of the post-game presser. This is why we didn't go to the game, because we would have gotten probably kicked out and media credentials stripped. 100%. 100%. Because I swear to God, I was willing to go toe-to-toe with this coach.
No, we would have been blacklisted. We didn't go in that presser after our loss to them either, because, you know. It's different things. Last year, you know, we got beat by Southern Utah. We went in the post-game presser for both sides. Their coach was lovely. Just super gracious. And I mean, but I went in there wanting to not like the guy. And when Alex and I walked out, we were both like, he just couldn't have been lovelier. And this game, I was like,
no,
I'm good.
As soon as our presser was over, got up, said, all right, Kyle, see you later. Deuces. Call us when you're done so we can go hang out and eat pizza and drink beer. We're not staying for that.
Nope.
Absolutely not.
All right. So that finished up our Thursday. We basically just went back to the hotel and got in bed.
We were out of it. We were tired. We were emotionally exhausted, emotionally spent. Couldn't even fathom on Tuesday or on Thursday going and doing anything. We literally just crawled back. We went into bed and put covers over our heads and wanted to cry.
Pretty much.
It was rough. Okay, Friday, wake up. What did we do Friday? See, here's the thing. Let me go back to the pictures. Friday, wake up. First thing. We got crepes.
Yes, we did. And then I guess we went and watched the ladies again.
We did. Okay, so here's our crepes. Hold on.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
Yeah, so I had, where was mine? This one. I had a ham and Swiss crepe. Jacqueline had a chicken pesto, and then we shared a Nutella.
Delightful.
It was very good. So we had crepes. We enjoyed the crepes, and then got our lives together and went over to the girls' game because, again, the girls' game was at 2 o'clock. And that was a rough game to watch because we had that game. The girls had that game. Had it. And then
we're on Friday. So Thursday they beat Tarleton. Friday they beat GCU. So this is Friday's game we're talking about. Because the guys lost tonight.
Oh shit, I'm sorry. Yeah. See, this is why I have problems. Okay, so yeah, they beat Tarleton. I could have sworn they only played twice, but I guess not. They played 3 times. Damn. Okay. My bad. Yeah. So Thursday they played the Tarleton. Friday they played Grand Canyon, won both of those. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Grand Canyon, they kicked their butt too. All right. Moving on. The rest of the night we spent hanging out with the boys. We went to watch the Baylor basketball. We went and just basically watched all the other games that were on. We went to the sports book. We went to a sports bar. went to a couple sports bars.
We were hopping all over the place because so this Friday it was Alex and I and Nick Rocco and then Nick, Athletics Nick. And we were trying to watch Nick Rocco's Baylor Bears. And the first place we went to, it was, we got there at like 6:20.
Yeah.
And the game hadn't even started yet. And then they were telling us that we had to be out by 7 for a private party. So we're like, I mean, it's not even going to be halftime by the time it's 7. So like, what do we want to do? Anyway, we ended up staying there until halftime. They didn't kick us out. Mm-hmm. We left and went
to the sports book.
Yes.
Finished. At Paris. Yeah.
We were bebopping all over the place.
We were. And then went to Beer Park upstairs at Paris, had some beverages, had some food. It was, it was at what time this was? This was at 9:26 at night. I legitimately felt like it was midnight already. It wasn't. Yeah. This was the longest day for us because we woke up early and then literally were up until all hours of the night. But like, I'm sorry, this is the best picture you will ever see in. Y'all, this guy comes over when we're at Beer Park. Y'all. He comes and takes our picture. And we are multiple drinks deep at this point. Multiple.
I mean, I was good. Like, I feel like I was the most solid one and looked the drunkest in the picture.
That's fair. Okay, fine. Me and Nick were multiple drinks deep at this point. And I kid you not, he comes back with this picture. And I said, I don't care how much it is. I'm buying it. I don't care how much it is. I was giggling for literally 45 minutes. This picture is just the funniest thing to me because I think it's mainly because Jacqueline hates it so much.
I was like, we do not want that picture. She's like, I'll buy it.
Okay, I want it. I buy it. I want it so much. Like, look at it. Look at it. It's the best thing in the world. Oh, I loved it so much. He goes, all right, $30. I said, here's cash. Take it. Take my money. It's just going to be put into a slot machine and lost anyway. So here, take my $30 for this stupid picture. Loved it.
Yeah, we did that. The way we went back to Orleans, hung out with Nick for a little bit. We're waiting on Matt to fly in Friday night to watch the ladies Saturday morning. Then we went and met up with Kyle and John. And if you know, you know. That's a little throwback in memoriam to a little incident in Caymans.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so then we went and had pizza
at Giordano's, and it was amazing.
Delicious. I'm trying to find the little picture of the
cheese.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Look at that.
Look at that.
Oh my God, it's like the cheesiest goodness. Oh my God. Oh, here's. Oh. There you go. So good. It was so good. Yeah, so then that was, let's see, what time did I take that video? That was at 12:57. We're eating pizza at literally 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I was about to say, because it was about midnight when we got there, and it takes them like 45 minutes to cook the deep dish. So
yeah, it hungry. Woo! I know. Okay. Let's see. Then that was Friday. Saturday, we wake up
because the ladies played at like 10:30.
Yeah, which is wild. Like, yeah, championship game, 10:30. Yeah.
Dumb. Anyway, but yeah, so we went out, headed on over to the Orleans and watched a sad.
Yeah, that was the game that we had it, and then, yeah, we had it and then lost it. That was rough because, you know, CBU is such a good team, and I know that CBU women's are so good. They're so good. And the fact that we had that game, we had them on the ropes, we had that game. And then a couple possessions later, just, you know, got the wind out of our sails and lost it. And that was so rough to watch. I felt really, I mean, it was so sad. I felt so bad for the girls. I mean, they didn't even, the only person that came into the post game presser was Len. I so felt so bad for them, you know? Yeah.
We did. But amazing, Daryl, that was for our friends at ESPN. You get a chance to get your final on a main network. You take it.
That's the 10:30 tip. I get it. It doesn't make it any less rough to get to, especially in Vegas, 10:30 tip. Like,
but yeah, very sad loss for our ladies, but do want to take a moment to say great, great, great first head coaching season for Lynn. And we're super proud of him and all the girls.
Absolutely. They were counted out. They were not expected to do as well as they did this season, post, you know, preseason polls and all these different things and whatever. And that's fine. I mean, Len was a first year head coach, you know, lost a bunch of their main shooters and main players. Like, again, we get it, but I just love the fact that, you know, we proved a lot of people wrong for the women's basketball team. And Len is such a fantastic guy. Like, I know we were all so lost and sad whenever Coach Kellogg left, but like as soon as they announced Len was taking over, like that's who everybody wanted though. That's who everybody wanted. Everybody, all the fans, the girls, the players, the boosters, and of course Len. That's who we wanted. Yeah. And so the fact that they gave him a chance to take over and play and coach the girls, I mean, obvious. He was the obvious choice and he was the best choice. And so we're so proud of him. Couldn't deserve it more. Couldn't ask for a more deserving coach. He's the epitome of what a good leader looks like. So
most definitely you can definitely see the chemistry between the girls and Lynn, and they really respect him and respond to him, and
for sure
great coach for them.
Absolutely 100%. So very, very, very proud of them, and they'll be back. Like zero doubt they will be back in the final for WAC Vegas, and then hopefully go into the dance next year, because they're just, especially if they don't lose anybody, damn, they're good. They're good. You know, they're good. I mean, yeah, we got a couple seniors in there, but other than that, phew, they're good, man. So anyway, after the girls game was over, again, I got to reference my pictures. We hop into a Uber and immediately go start gallivanting around, because we have like, it's noon. Oh yeah. I gotta twist my arm. Hold on. We start gallivanting around because it's noon. We have like half the day to go and do stuff. And so on our list was our yearly tattoos. Hold on, where's it at? There we go.
Oh, so Scotty's very confused by what I'm doing here.
It's okay. So here's our yearly tattoo. Jacqueline, explain it.
Catch flights, not feelings.
That's exactly right. So it's a little airplane with a little heart. Yeah.
So catch flights. And also people love to travel.
Yeah. So it's a double meaning, obviously. Yes. Catch flights, not feelings, but mainly because we love to travel and we travel together all the time, mainly for basketball. So it just seemed right. And it was $10. So literally in and out.
It is.
Boom, boom.
Definitely at the itchy stage today. I don't know about you.
I'm okay, actually. So that mad rabbit stuff I have for tattoos works like a dream. And it really helps like with itching and all of that stuff. Like, I don't think ever since I started using that for my newest tattoos, like all my I barely have an itchy phase.
You'll have to send me the link. I mean, I haven't but it has been very itchy, like night and today.
I've forgotten it's there. Like, it doesn't itch at all. I find it really funny that this, although I posted, if anybody sends me $100, I'll do this. So it's the blindfold tattoos they have at the tattoo parlor. You pick three subjects, they draw it, we blindfold you, and then you get the tattoo. But I didn't even read the bottom part. It's only Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursday. Yeah. So I've been in the middle.
I knew nobody was going to I figured nobody would do it. So
a couple people said they would have chipped in $5. I'm like, all right, well, I only need 90 more, you know.
Gonna take several of you guys.
Oh, I know, I know. But anyway, it was really fun. So here's a picture of Jacqueline getting her with her little cat afterwards. Look at her. Cutie. Adorable. And then we have a little selfie outside the tattoo parlor. Because we go to the first tattoo parlor because there's like five or six of them all around Vegas because they're popular $10 tattoo, like tourist traps. Like, I get it. We went to the first one. It was on Las Vegas Boulevard. And I was like, yeah, why not? Just we'll see, go to this one. It was packed. So we're like, all right, plan B. Let's go to one off strip, which was the best idea because there was like barely anybody there. So
yeah.
Note to self, next year, just immediately go to the off strip one. Don't even try the strip one. Let's see. And then after that, we go back to the room, relax, hang out, because we had a very, very, very nice dinner reservation planned for like 8 o'clock at Caesars at Amalfi by Bobby Flay. So we went back to the room, relaxed a little bit, took a snooze, kind of chilled, and then got up, got dressed, and went to Bobby Flay's amazing restaurant in Caesars Amalfi. So good. It wasn't what I expected. It was very different because their menu was like more so recommended to do it as like a family style where you order dishes and plates and then share. So that was really interesting. It was amazing. We each had a fun little drink. Here's Jacqueline's fun little drink. Okay.
Good.
Yep. Yep. Here's mine. Oh crap. There we go. Yep. There we go. Yep. And then we decided to share pasta rags, which was very good. But see, like, that's how big the pasta portion was. So our waiter was trying to explain it. Like, the pasta isn't like your normal pasta that you'd get like at a normal Italian restaurant. Like, it's a very small portion. And I'm like, how small? Like, how small are we talking? So it's a good thing that he explained all of this to us, because if I would have ordered that for my main, I would have been fucking pissed.
But we got several things. So we got an appetizer, burrata.
Yep, here it is. I got a picture. Don't worry.
That was very good.
Very good. So we had pasta rags. We had the that. Here's Jacqueline's little pasta she ordered.
Orecchietti.
Yeah, I'll post all these. So don't worry, people. I'll post them. And then she had an absolute hard on for these green beans.
Those green beans were so good. Whatever that sauce that they drizzled on top, and then they put some like, I think they were like little pieces of walnuts or something. Oh, it was so good.
I will say it was pretty good. I will admit. And then I had for my main, which I gave Jacqueline a couple bites, was a chicken parm.
Very and it good. Was massive.
It was massive. Now I understand why, like, they could have easily, why they said, hey, yeah, you could share it. And I'm like, all right. Okay. And then I started eating and I was like, whew, I didn't even finish it. There was probably like this, maybe like this much left of it. I don't know, but I didn't finish it. And that's not like me. I usually finish my meals. Mm-hmm. You know, there's children starving in Africa. And then our dessert was a tiramisu.
With multiple layers of caramel.
And now we finished that son of a bitch. I made sure because it was so good. So good. Look at this cute girl waiting for a taxi. Oh man. Anyway, so after dinner, we probably were at dinner for like at least 2 hours. It was a very nice dinner. I'm glad we did that one. Then afterwards, we had such an early morning that there was just no reason for us to go out gallivanting because we already done so much gallivanting the couple days before. Plus we had to go back and,
mostly everyone was gone. They'd already had that.
That's true. Literally all of our peeps left. So it would have just been us, which we could have went out and done stuff, but we had such an early flight the next day. We had to be at the airport by like 8 o'clock. So we didn't want to be an absolute hungover messes waiting for an airplane. That would have been so uncomfortable. So plus we had to go back and pack and get our suitcases ready. And that was an ordeal that probably took at least an hour and a half on my end for anyway. So
yeah. And we both had to drive quite a bit once we got back too, because I drove us back to Tyler. Then Alex had to drive back to Knack. I basically had to do the same drive because I had to drive to Henderson to meet my parents, to get my dog, and then drive back.
Yeah.
It was a long one for all of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's our little – we took a picture of our tats on the plane. I was like, Jacqueline, I was like, Jacqueline, looks like we're holding hands. It's hilarious.
Might be.
Anyway. So yeah, that in a nutshell. Oh, then here's our little picture with Kyle.
Yeah, that was a really good picture of all of us. Hold it up longer.
Oh, that sorry. Okay.
That was a really good picture of all of us. Yeah.
I'm cheesing hard. You can always tell when I'm cheesing so hard that like my eyes are like halfway shut. Yeah. When I'm having a good time, I'm cheesing hard, man. But yeah, no, great time in Vegas. Very exciting. Had, like I said, great moments, thrill of victory. And then of course, agony of defeat. Typical Vegas, typical March Madness. Like what are you going to say? What are you going to do? You know?
I mean, that's the epitome of Vegas and March Madness. You win some.
It is.
Lose some.
It is. I lost the plot. All of my tip money fucking out the window. Done. Gone. I mean, I spent 30 of it on a freaking picture. That should tell you everything you need to know about how I do Vegas. Too much.
We got some nice pictures that we bought last year.
Yeah, which have not seen the light of day.
Y'all will not be seeing those on the podcast.
Never. Though, if you ever want to see those, that's like, you have to either come to one of our houses and we have to just show you and then swear you to secrecy.
Yeah,
you will never see those ever in public eye, ever.
They will not have a digital footprint anywhere.
Nope. Not great. I mean, it was great in the moment, but
yeah,
those will not be shown. Anyway, yeah. So all in all, fun trip, good trip. Hung out with people we love and adore and had a great time with Kyle and the Whack Hoops people. Again, we love Kyle so much. And so we had a good time. Loved it. Obviously, would have wished that our boys and girls would have gone farther. But again, what are you going to do? You know, it's a tough league. It's Whack Vegas. Anything's possible. So it's just the way the cookie crumbles, unfortunately. But all in all, good trip, good times, great food. What more can you ask for other than more dubs? But yeah, here we are. But yeah, so I mean, that's pretty much the end of the Whack Vegas shenanigans. You know, another year's come and gone, and another season has come and gone, and Jacqueline has another cat. And
no, since everyone always has to look at the cats, I just gave Gabby a bath and a haircut the other day. Look how cute she looks.
Oh my God, you can see her face.
I know. She can see out of her eyes now.
Look at that. Hi, Gabbers. You gonna bark at me, Gabby? All you did while I was there is bark at me. You gonna bark at me?
Not now.
Anyway. Yeah. So it was a time.
It was fun. I was happy to get home to my geriatric dog and my cats, but we had a fun time.
Yeah. Here's just so people know, if anybody goes on a trip with Jacqueline, just be prepared for a few things. One, she'll get hangry in 0.25 seconds. Two, she will check on her cats every 2.5 seconds. So just be aware. Just be aware. If you ever see her looking at her phone and talking into her phone, she's not cuckoo bananas.
Like, not totally.
Not totally, but she's cuckoo bananas for these fucking cats.
Well, my mom and dad keep Gabby, my little dog, but the cats stay at home and people come check on them. So I have to like peek in on them with my pet cam.
Oh, she'll peek on them. All right. She'll go to her pet cam. Katya, Scotty.
Scold them. Doing things.
Literally, she's yelling at them through her phone. However thousand miles away, 500, 700, 800 miles away. Get off the table, Katya.
They ignore me just like they do when I'm here.
It's just funny. Okay, last thing before we sign off for the night. we're in the middle of the podcast and our freaking basketball group chat goes off. Just nutballs. Apparently, sources are saying that UTRGV officials informed the WAC officials that they're leaving the WAC for the Southland Conference. A change that is expected for the 2024-2025 season. So they're getting the F out of the WAC.
They said bye.
Which is, I get it for basketball, but I'm kind of sad for football because we were counting on that extra football team that they were getting started to come into. I mean, both men and women finished last in the WAC. And
yeah, that sucks. That's rough.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. But what's even rougher is they're expected to owe the WAC $2 million.
Yeah. I don't know if it's worth that, but.
Yeah, I know. So somebody goes on Twitter, literally whole universities are entering the transfer portal. Kind of funny. I can't lie. That's kind of funny. Yeah. I know. And but then, of course, I don't know. People are saying, well, okay, SFA, come back to the Southland. I'm sorry. I feel like if we go back to the Southland, it makes us look like fucking idiots.
What? We're about to get a new AD, so why don't we just leave that and see what happens?
Exactly.
Decision. Let's not. We got bigger fish to fry right now before we worry about that. You like know, the whole shit. Entire athletic department.
The Lumberjack fans were in the middle of like turmoil. So
there's just a lot.
There's a lot going on.
We'll end it there because that we've already taken up an hour and a half of your time and there's plenty more to discuss for a rainy day.
Yeah. So to preview our, what most likely is going to be our last podcast for the season. Normally every season at the end of the season, we do our end of season awards. We talk about stats as a whole season, season leaders in different categories and all of those things. Where are we going?
Well, of course, you know, like a kid, as soon as I was going to get him on camera, he dropped it. But Scotty came in here bringing me a little fish toy.
Oh, how sweet.
That's Scotty, what he
for. Scotty's the man of the house. So he just, he has to throw his dick around. But, you know.
So, yes, another episode coming later. We'll do our end of season awards recap. And we'll talk about other current events.
TV. Yeah, so all 141 of you who are watching us currently, stick around for Sunday's podcast because, yes, we will talk about the end of season stuff we normally talk about and what we know so far, which isn't much in terms of this portal madness that is occurring right now for basketball. So, yeah. That'll be on Sunday. Don't know what time, but probably Sunday afternoon because I have a Sunday night. I'm not going to say date. That's the wrong word. Event. There we go.
Engagement.
I am booked for a Sunday night engagement. But yeah, so that'll be on Sunday. So hopefully all 142 of you now come back on Sunday afternoon because we will be talking about our end of season stuff and the portal. Because obviously things are a little wild. Like I said, 42 more days left, wild, wild west, and I'm going to crawl in a hole until that 42 days is over. It's a fucking joke. Anyway, that is the end of the WAC Vegas episode of Pardon Me, Alex. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a shit ton of people listening, and it's absolutely insane. Yeah. We appreciate it. Go buy our merch.
We'll try to add some new stuff soon, but it is the end of season. So
yeah.
Alex has added designs for other sports. So
we'll
continue on that route during the off season so that you can.
Yeah. I have a couple ideas in mind for baseball already. So I think I may add a baseball one and softball one on there. So if I have, if there's any lumberjack, baseball, softball, Lady Jack, whoever fans, then we're going to throw that on there. Hell, maybe I'll do a bowling one too. Let's get wild.
I mean, only national champions.
And then, exactly. And then I have a couple ideas for non-sports related, non-sports related shirts. Real quick, one of them is a quote from one of our friends, our mutual friends. Last time they were at Bonita Creek with me, he goes, "Alex, you need to make a shirt that says balls deep in Bonita Creek." I said, "That's perfect. I'm doing it."
Can I ask who said it?
Yeah. You want to take a guess?
Was it a... Hold on. Well, I don't think it was Brian, was it?
No, but close.
Devin.
Yeah, there it is.
All right.
Yeah. I knew you'd get it, but...
Yeah. I was thinking it sounds like a Dawson thing, but I thought that only Devin was with you last time and not Dawson.
Yeah, it was Devin. It was Devin. Yeah, so I said that's a fantastic shirt idea, and I'm definitely going to make one. So be looking out for that shirt, too. Anyway, okay, guys, hope you have a wonderful night. It's been an hour and 36 minutes. It's 9:48. By the way, my clock on my watch will not reset, and it still is in Vegas time.
It took forever to switch to Vegas time, and now it doesn't want to switch back.
So for the last 3 days, almost four, my watch has been on Vegas time, and it's absolutely wrecked my life up.
That's
like annoying. I'm in the middle of teaching, and I look down, and I'm like, "What the hell? Like, wait a minute, what? This is not
to have Android stuff because all my Apple stuff synced right up."
Eat my shorts. Eat my shorts. All right. No, this watch is just so old. Like, I honestly probably need a new one. It's like one of the very first Fitbit like watches. So it probably needs to be updated. So that's on me. There is quick update for those watching the basketball tournament. First four, Colorado and Boise State are playing. What's the score? Hold on. They just took the damn score bug away. Hold on. Oh, Colorado's up 33-28. So yay, March Madness. There is something to be said about not being in March Madness where I don't have to have crushing anxiety. So I can just enjoy it now.
That is true.
That is true. So anyway, okay. That is the end. Hope you guys have a wonderful night. We had a great time in Vegas, and I hope next year more people come because win or lose, we booze.
We booze. Why not?
And why not? Exactly. We love you guys. Thank you for your support. And as always, Axe and Jax.
With Alex and Jax.